You're listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast.
Well, they thought they were going to have an easy day over there today, but not so fast, Mr. Speaker.
What is it going to take for the Prime Minister to have any respect for any laws in this country that may curb his out-of-control behavior?
And now, here's your host, Tony Clement.
You're listening to Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast. I'm your host, Tony Clement, Member of Parliament for Parry-Sound Muskoka. And with me today, we have Michael Cooper, the Member of Parliament for St. Albert, Edmonton. And he's also our Deputy Critic for the Conservative Party for Justice. Michael, welcome to the program.
Good to be here, Tony.
We're going to talk a little bit about Winslaw, which is something that you have championed in the House of Commons and was named after the late RCMP Constable David Wynne. So maybe talk a little bit about Constable Wynne and then talk about how that created the movement for Wynne's Law.
Sure. Well, back in January 2015, Constable David Wynne, as well as Auxiliary Constable Derek Bond, were attempting to arrest an individual on a series of outstanding charges. And Constable Wynne was fatally shot and killed, and Auxiliary Constable Bond was shot but survived, but frankly, I've talked to him, and his life will obviously be never the same. Mm. And the individual who murdered Constable Wynne and shot Auxiliary Constable Bond was a career criminal. He was out on bail at the time, notwithstanding the fact that he had more than 50 prior criminal convictions, 38 outstanding charges, numerous failures to appear. And it prompted RCMP Commissioner Paulson to ask, how was it possible that such an individual was walking amongst us in our community?
Right.
And one of the reasons why is because of a loophole in the criminal code. And that is that it is discretionary whether the criminal history of a bail applicant is brought to the attention of a judge or justice of the peace at a bail hearing. In the case of Constable Wynne's killer, that information was not brought forward. And there's no doubt, in my mind, that had that information been brought forward with this individual's extensive criminal history, he would have been kept behind bars where he belonged, and Constable Wynne would be alive today.
So in that case, the judge or the justice of the peace who was presiding over the bail hearing had no evidence of priors or no evidence of this criminal history, this likelihood that he was going to reoffend if he was on bail.
That's right. He had none of that information. She didn't have any of that information before her. And so what Wynne's Law would do is close the loophole in the criminal code by simply requiring prosecutors to lead evidence of the criminal history of bail applicants. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that is always relevant and material at a bail hearing. In fact, it's about the only thing that is often relevant and material is to know what that history is so that a judge or JP can properly exercise their discretion in determining whether someone should be kept behind bars or let out into the community.
So your bill currently before Parliament does that. It closes that loophole in the criminal code.
The bill that had been introduced by Senator Runciman and that I've sponsored in the House does exactly that.
Yeah, so it's co-sponsored, Senator Bob Runciman.
Yes.
In the Canadian Senate, Bill S-217.
Right.
And you're partnering with Senator Runciman to make sure that this is also debated in the House of Commons.
Exactly. And Senator Runciman was able to get it through the Senate last year. It passed the Senate Legal and Constitutional Affairs Committee unanimously. It got through the Senate with the support of every single conservative and liberal senator. And it wasn't until it got to the House of Commons I guess the government to some degree started to pay attention and decided to put politics ahead of public safety and coming out against the bill.
So tell me a bit about that. There's obviously some procedural wrangling that has gone on and some stonewalling by the Liberals, but bizarrely, they're laying up these barriers for this bill being passed.
Yeah, well, it's just incredible. The government opposed the bill at second reading. Nonetheless, I was able to convince 27 Liberal MPs to do the right thing, to put public safety first and vote for Wynne's Law. And so we were able to get it.
That was an extraordinary moment, by the way, in the House of Commons for our listeners, because basically, Michael, you did a lot of work behind the scenes and in the background, talked to a lot of Liberal MPs, and we had a whole raft of these Liberal backbenchers who basically defied their own justice minister and the prime minister, who spoke, we are told, spoke against this Wynne's Law in the Liberal caucus, and they were willing and able and were present in their seats to vote in favor of Wynne's Law passing.
Right. It really wasn't. What made the moment all the more emotional was the presence of Shelley McInnes Wynne, the widow of Constable Wynne, who was present in the gallery to witness that.
Right.
And frankly, I was not expecting it to pass. I mean, we fought hard, but we were expecting the worst. And so it was just incredible to see that moment, to get it through second reading, notwithstanding the very vigorous opposition of the government.
And then what happened, though?
Well, but then what happened is it went to committee, where effectively the Liberals have killed it in committee. And that includes, in fairness, a few Liberal MPs on the committee who did vote for it at second reading. Mm-hmm. One of the primary reasons members of the committee have opposed it is supposedly on the basis of delay. I say that argument makes absolutely no sense.
So basis that it was going to delay proceedings.
It would somehow delay bail hearings. Mm-hmm. Well, I would say a couple of things to that. First of all, the bail hearing of Constable Wynne's killer was an incredibly efficient bail hearing. It had, however, fatal consequences. I mean, quite frankly, if it's going to slow things down a little bit to make sure that this kind of information is brought forward, well, that needs to happen, quite frankly, to prevent people like Constable Wynne's killer from being let out. But the other thing is, one of the things that we did hear at the Justice Committee over and over and over again, including from people who opposed the bill, was the fact that prosecutors almost always do it. We were told that this is the first thing that prosecutors learn about bail hearings. It's the bread and butter of what prosecutors do at bail hearings in terms of leading this evidence of criminal history of bail applicants. So if something is almost always done, and this legislation would simply close the loophole to make sure that it's not almost always done, but always done,
right.
I don't think that one can reasonably make the argument that this is going to create any kind of significant backlog in terms of the courts. And I also have to say that it's really the height of hypocrisy for the Liberals to be talking about delay when these Liberal MPs on the committee have stood in silence as their justice minister fails to do one of the easiest things to do in terms of reducing the backlog, and that is to fill the historic number of judicial vacancies that are solely that this Minister of Justice is responsible for in terms of failing to fill. I think right now we've got 62 judicial vacancies. It's just incredible.
Right, so that's creating the delay. We're talking, by the way, to Michael Cooper. He's the Member of Parliament for St. Albert, Edmonton, the Deputy Critic for Justice for the Conservative Party of Canada. Michael, thank you for being on the program. So where do we go from here with respect to Wynne's Law? I know you're continuing to lead the campaign both publicly and in the House of Commons.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to keep fighting, but for all intents and purposes, now that the Justice Committee has recommended that the bill not proceed, the Liberal-dominated Justice Committee, I think it's very unlikely that Wynne's Law will become the law in this Parliament. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to keep on fighting. I know in my community in Edmonton, there's a real sense of outrage over this. So I think we'll keep fighting until the vote. And assuming that the Liberals vote it down, they're going to have to be held accountable for
opposing. There's still another vote in the House of Commons for the committee recommendation to make it to the House.
That's right. Yeah. And it's obviously very disappointing. But at the same time, I have to say, given the government's opposition, I was surprised that it went as far as it did, and it has brought attention to this important issue, and as well as anyone, that in the case of private members' bills, that sometimes it takes more than one parliament to get the right legislation passed.
Michael Cooper, what can the public do? Is there a petition board or a comment board, or
yeah.
should they write a letter? What should they do?
Well, I did have an e-petition, a Winslaw Now petition that was signed by thousands of Canadians, so I will be tabling that petition in the House of Commons.
Excellent.
And what I would encourage your listeners to do is call their MP to tell them that this law is important, that this loophole needs to be closed because it can save lives.
Well, Michael Cooper, thanks for being on the program and continue the great work on behalf of Canadians for Winslaw and generally in the causes of justice that you're championing.
Right. Well, thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Blueprint, Canada's conservative podcast. To find more episodes, interviews, and in-depth discussions of politics in Canada, search for The Blueprint on iTunes or visit podcast.conservative.ca.